Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
I'm not in a mood for drama tonight, Jason.
Why are you always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
Is on Rutledge and Hamilton.
I don't know if I will go as far as you will.
With Jim Rutledge and Matt Hamilton.
All right, boys.
All right.
Be good.
Presented by Coors Light.
Inmates running the asylum on your Thursday edition of Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light, alongside downtown Molly Brown, Alex Strofe with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Primetime Olersham running the show for us today. But it is now our privilege, our distinct honor, to be joined by the host of Wilde and Tausch from 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. He is a three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Okay.
It is our hero, Jason Wilde, joining us on his off day. What a saint. Jason, how are you?
Well, when I thought it was going to be Rutledge and Hamilton, I agreed. And then when it turned out to be Molly Brown and Alex Strofe, it was too late to turn back.
Fair.
That's fair.
No, I kid. I kid because I care. To Ryan Primetime Wollersheim's credit, he did include who were the hosts today. And I did agree. Maybe it actually helped the chances of me doing it on the day off, quite frankly.
I'll take it.
Do you mean that? Do you think it actually helped the chances, or would you have done it either way?
I don't think it mattered either way. Okay. I would have done it either way.
Yeah.
Although Paul has been pissed at me all day because I've now done...
You've done every show.
I did, not every show. I did Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I did our show. I did KBN. Kyle Bruston Nortman, very popular program, and now I'm doing Brown and Strofe.
Terrible name.
Hey now.
So I haven't done the Homer Hour today, I guess, and I wasn't on Greeny. That's about it.
Yeah, that was kind of my question for you. I didn't know if you were on spring break, if you were on vacation, or are you just kind of taking some days off to catch up on laundry? Like, what's your plan here?
Yeah, so I don't think Paula appreciates, and you know, you're a happily married woman. You understand that occasionally husbands do things that maybe you're kind of like, why did I marry this guy?
Yeah, just occasionally.
I don't think that happens often in my house, but like, so her argument is, if you're going to take the day off, take the damn day off. And I said, Paula, I don't work in a factory. It's not like I'm going in to the widget factory and doing like 15 minutes on the line and then leaving again. Like, that's hard work. My dad worked in a factory for 40 years. Like, I have one of the greatest jobs anybody could ever ask for. I talk on the phone when I'm not on the actual show. I talk on the radio when I am on the show with my little headphones and everything. And then I write stories about the Packers. Like, there's a lot, very, very, very many jobs that are tougher than mine. So if those shows benefit, and that obviously is debatable, but if those shows benefit from me being on, it's not that big of an ask. And we still did all kinds of fun stuff today, like laundry and dishes and cleaning up the garage.
Oh,
and I took the girls to Dave & Buster's, where I once again got my ass kicked in Papa Shot, which I don't know because I'm a much better shooter than Sydney is.
Did you just kind of dunk on your daughter by saying you're a better shooter than her?
No, because she'll. I'm going to play this for her later when I pick her up from gymnastics practice. Because we are working on, and I'm not like crazy basketball dad by any stretch, but she is a very stubborn person. I don't know where she gets it from.
Yeah, me neither.
But we work on a lot of form related stuff, and she's a good shooter. She is. But she could be better, and she has some friends, or I have some friends that have become her friends, who are accomplished basketball players. Chloe Murata, who played at Marquette, whose sister Carly is the new sports director at Channel 27 in Madison. Our friend Bridget Froelke, who is one of the stud shooting guards
for
UW Oshkosh. She's your friend first, and then we became friends with her because of you. And so they want to help her improve, and she's just so stubborn that she doesn't want to square her feet up, all that kind of stuff. So when she wins at Papa Shots, this is the reason why I took that shot at her, then she's like, you know, doing like not her version of the belt at me because, oh, looks like I'm a pretty good shooter, huh? Which just is really, really irritating.
I like that from her. I like the attitude. Give it right, dish it right back. Yeah, that's kind of my style, though. But I was just about to tell you, Jason, we've got a Papa Shot machine here at the Everlight Solar Studio. I get shots up every day. I think I could kick your ass at Dave and Buster's, too. But that's something we'll have to sort out in the future.
I've seen the quality of that machine, and I know the quality of athlete you are. So that it's hard to say what exactly happened
with that. Hey, I'm a pretty good athlete, I like to think. All right, let's talk Packers, shall we? You might be off today, but I did see you retweeted either today or yesterday, and I think you wrote the story that was published yesterday in the Wisconsin State Journal about Matt LaFleur saying the offseason running back swap caught him off guard. He talked at length about Josh Jacobs and maybe some of the things they can do with him down in Orlando this week. But what did you, how did you read into that, saying it caught him off guard, to be honest with you?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I take a fair amount of grief from a portion of the fan base. I mentioned this on our show the other day, that think I like hate Goody or hate Mark Murphy. I just am going, on the rare occasions where I vehemently disagree with something, I am going to be vocal about it. And I think there are two instances now that have happened basically in the last 3 days that I would be vocally critical of. One is this whole trying to pay fewer taxes or lower rents for Lambeau Field and cutting the city out of roughly $40 million when you have a money printing machine over at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. And then the other one is, I just think Matt LaFleur deserves to be more involved in the conversations, even if his input will be limited and you won't necessarily say, oh, well, Matt wants this, so we're going to do that, right? Like, I'm really confused. And I know from people that work in the building that Matt and the coaches are not generally part of the conversation with the personnel department. The personnel department does its thing. The coaching staff does its thing. And for a structure that was supposed to eliminate silos, I just don't think that's occurred. And they've had a ton of success, so it's hard to say, well, this has been their undoing, because it hasn't been. But I think there are some instances, and Brian Bulaga on our show the other day outlined one of them, like Matt LaFleur, you know, called Brian Bulaga after Brian Bulaga had been informed by Russ Ball that they were going in a different direction. And signing Ricky Wagner and wouldn't be bringing him back in March of 2020. And Matt said, hey, is there anything we can do to get you back? I mean, to a guy that had already been informed by the other people that he wasn't coming back. And so I thought that was a germane example to what we're talking about here with the Aaron Jones thing, because I would think whether or not he would have been successful or not is irrelevant. Not to be confused with Mr. Irrelevant, which you can see digitally across ESPN Wisconsin and on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter, because I think he would have pushed to keep Aaron Jones. I don't think there's any doubt based on his affinity for Jones that he would have done that. Now, that doesn't mean that they should have kept Aaron Jones. It doesn't mean that they would have kept Aaron Jones. But I don't think it moves so fast that you can't text your head coach and loop him in on what's happening at running back. And that's the part that I don't buy, because you send me texts all the time, Rolf. Like, it takes you, what, 10 seconds to send a text?
Something like that, yeah.
I have my read receipts on, so you know when you get them, when I've read them. And Matt LaFleur, hey, Jones turned down our pay cut request. We're going to go a different direction. We're looking at Josh Jacobs. Like, I don't think that that's an unreasonable thing to feel like the head coach probably deserves to get. And apparently he didn't. And I'm glad that he mentioned it, because what's funny about how this played out is that Rap Sheets, Ian Rappaport, came over at the coaches' breakfast, the NFC coaches' breakfast on Tuesday, and kind of just dropped in and asked him this question. And I don't think he knew kind of the bare bones of how things operate at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. And I'm pretty sure Ian Rappaport and everyone at the table was a little bit surprised by wait, you didn't really know what was happening?
Mm-hmm.
And so I respect Matt LaFleur for saying it, because he could have just said, yeah, well, you know, things change. And but he was very honest, and I respect the hell out of him for that.
Do you know, Jason, like other teams, how well is their communication between, let's say, the GM, the owner, and the coach? Like, are the Packers, for lack of a better word, bad at communication between the people that are running the organization? Or is that how it is in other franchises as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. Truly, that's not... I hate it when people say that's a great question, because they're really buying time to answer it and Silly. Think of what their answer is.
What are you doing right now?
I want to make sure that Molly knows that that's a great question, like a legitimately great question.
Jason tells me I have a great question every single time.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Let me just tell you.
Yeah, he has.
I'm big on positive reinforcement, and that's why very rarely does Strofe get it from me. Which is also not true, by the way.
It's not.
So the reason why I can't fully answer it is because obviously I haven't covered the other 31 teams. I do have friends that cover a bunch of teams, and I know that, for instance, the communication lines between John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are much, much better. The communication lines in Kansas City with Andy Reid and their GM, whose name is escaping me at the moment, they have a much better line of communication. Now, again, that doesn't mean they always agree. You know, when back in Packers history, you know, I think that there was certainly some frustration for Mike McCarthy during the second half of his tenure with Ted Thompson, because Ted Thompson wasn't super communicative. Now, I do think that that might have been partially related to his health that was declining in the final years of his time there, because early in his career, there actually was good communication between the two. They did actually work really well together. And I know Mike McCarthy got sick of having to be kind of the spokesperson all the time publicly. Ron Wolf and Mike Holmgren definitely did not see eye to eye all the time, but there was definitely a level of, hey, I'm looping you in. This is probably not going to make you happy, but this is what we're doing. And Ron was as straight of a straight shooter as there is. So I think league-wide, there are probably a number of teams that are similar to the Packers, where the GM does the personnel, the coach does the coaching, and there's not, you know, never the twain shall meet. But I think the Packers do seem to be on the low end, based on what I can tell, in terms of the communication.
Jason Wilde with us here on Rutledge and Hamilton. She's Molly Brown. I'm Alex Strofe in for the fellas on your Thursday, 5:45 p.m. Jason, I'm curious. I want to flip over to college sports quickly before we let you go, because I started the show today with just my irritation and sadness, really, about the state of college athletics. Over 1,000 Division I men's basketball players have already entered the transfer portal just last weekend, the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, including five names from the Wisconsin Badgers, which includes Connor Sejan, Gus Yaldin, and AJ Storr as of today. I have an issue with this. It's too much. There's too much movement. There's too much other implications. The national letter of intent you signed as a senior in high school obviously no longer really means anything. What do you make of what the transfer portal has evolved into in college athletics? Because frankly, it makes me sad. It makes me miss what it used to be, not more than, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah, I hate what it's become, but the problem is, you know, there's this old saying about government that democracy is the worst form of government except for all the others.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like what's happening. I want to be very clear on that before I go any further. But, you know, I also didn't like the fact that, you know, Rick Pitino and all the great coaches could leave at the drop of a hat for a better job. I mean, you saw the coach movement in the last, you know, week after teams were eliminated from the tournament. Suddenly they're the new coach at a new school. Like, I don't even know if the horn has sounded by the time they have their new jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't like the fact that players would have to sit out a year, transfer, and coaches could do whatever the hell they wanted. And the coach that recruited you could basically leave you high and dry. But what I think we've seen is a massive overcorrection, then coupled with the challenges of NIL and having to re-recruit players, Look, I don't know AJ Storr. I enjoyed watching him play. I do not mean that. I'm going to use him as an example. I am not in any way ripping him, so I want to be clear on that. But like AJ Storr could probably go to another school now after what he did at Wisconsin. He doesn't have to go to the NBA to get more money. He can easily go to a new school that's going to pay him more in NIL money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And still play college basketball. And so, to me, if we're going to professionalize these athletes, I think there has to be some level of professionalization with the movement. And that would mean salary cap in terms of how much NIL each team can spend, because it shouldn't be okay for Ohio State football to be able to spend $13 million to keep their current players and other schools not be able to afford that. And there should be a window, like there is in free agency, where you can move schools, and then when the window is closed, you are committed to the school you are at. And I don't know how long that has to be. I think there would be reasons to take exceptions on occasion. But the NCAA doesn't do jack you know what. And so maybe we have found some ways that maybe if they were adept enough, maybe they could preside over some of this stuff and have it work better than it currently does. Because, look, I was disappointed in Wisconsin's finish. I am a big Greg Gard guy. But, you know, I do think that one of the things that was said in the piece that Jim Polzin wrote in the State Journal in talking with Chris McIntosh is, this is a hard job now. And he feels good about what Gard can do in terms of recruiting players to come in and then recruiting other players to either stay or bring guys in after other people leave. And so I think that is a very difficult sea to navigate, and all these coaches are struggling with it. We're seeing some coaches get out of it altogether because of it. They are still trying to figure it out, but they need help from the administration of college athletics. And unfortunately, the NCAA has never shown the ability to effectively do that. I don't know why they would figure out how to do it now.
He's a believer in positive reinforcements, and so am I. He's handsome. He's well-spoken. He's a three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. Jason, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate the time on your off day.
It is my pleasure. Molly, great questions.
Oh, thank you, Jason. Appreciate you.
Good talking with you.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever.
Take care. Be good.
That's the great Jason Wilde. You hear him weekday mornings, 9 to noon. Alongside the Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher on Wilde and Tausch. I got to be honest with you, though, Molly. If I take a day off, I'm not calling into a show. We got two guys to do that for us today. Rutledge and Wilde both called in on their day
We're
off.
We're so good at our jobs. At our fill-in jobs.
I think people like us. I think that's what's going on here.
We're the
people
six like men, me. Women of...
Smooth, yeah.
We're the six persons of ESPN Madison.
Yeah,
we're the Bobby Portises.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's go.
Yeah.
Strophy. Molly. Strophy. Molly. Strophy. Molly.
Let's go.
Matt Hamilton about his friends at Revive Restoration. We continue next. It's Rutledge and Hamilton presented by Coors Light.